message on Sunday night, and I apologize for cutting it off at the introduction there. I kind of hit a wall, and the temperature seemed like it was 100 degrees up here. And I tell you, the medication I'm on, it doesn't help when it does get hot. So I'm going to grab those three points that we're looking at on Sunday night. We're going to do those. So we're looking at the sufficiency of Christ, which was in relationship to Sunday night's message as well. So we were looking at Colossians chapter 2. We were looking at verses 8, 9, and 10, I believe. And it says there, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." That's important. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." The three thoughts we're going to be looking at tonight are the captivity of philosophy, bringing a philosophy into captivity, the containment of Christ and the completeness of Christ in verses 9 and 10 respectively. We look at verse 8 where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now this word philosophy comes from a root word, philosophosos, which is someone who gives himself or herself to the pursuit of wisdom and learning. Now it is one who gives themselves to investigate, to discuss the cause of things, and to do so for what they would consider the highest good. Now, for us, the highest good is the Lord Jesus Christ. The highest good for man is self, and maybe fellow brothers or fellow citizens, if you will, of a nation. Now, the word the Apostle Paul uses is philosophia, in which Paul uses the word beware and spoil in conjunction with this particular word philosophy. Paul is not suggesting that philosophy is bad. Whether it is good or bad depends upon its foundation and the premise that one uses to develop that philosophy. We develop our philosophy based on the Word of Scriptures. All of our wisdom and all of our knowledge comes from the Word of God. And of course, wisdom is that ability to rightly use and rightly apply the knowledge that we gain from the Word of God. That's what wisdom really is. Wisdom and knowledge are not two separate things necessarily, but wisdom is the thing that we seek and we ask, and the thing that God will give to us, because James says that if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask of God, and God will give us wisdom, give it to us liberally, and that is the ability to be able to understand and to apply the things that we learn from the Word of God. Unfortunately, that's not the case among a lot of believers. They don't really know how to apply the Word of God. So they have the knowledge, they just don't have the wisdom on how to apply it, or when they should apply it, or in the manner in which it should be applied. So the idea simply is this: if evolution is one's foundation, and when you're looking at what's going on in the world today, we have to understand that in the beginning, God is no longer the foundation upon which the mass population of the world stands on. All the philosophies that they come up with have nothing to do with in the beginning God created. It has everything to do with the limited science of man that simply says that, boom, we all came here. Of course, maybe now we were deposited here. Someone, you know, it's kind of a flyby on planet Earth, and they threw them out and took off again or something. I guess that's the only thing I can assume what they're talking about here. So I guess we're going to have to call it the flyby theory. You know, they just happened to find us here and flew by and dropped the man and the woman off, and then went off to wherever it is they went off to. But if evolution is one's foundation, and their premise is to prove that there is no God, and that really is the reason evolution has become so popular with so many intellectualists, if we can say the word. I'm going to say very limited intellectualists, because they can't even scratch the surface of what it is that God knows, or what God is always known, for that matter. But the idea simply is that if I don't want to have to give an account to God, then I'm just going to believe that there is no God, and then I'm going to set out to prove that there is no God. And of course, they can't prove there is no God. It's a virtual impossibility. And any more than you and I can prove God exists. Now, we can show them that there is a God who changes and transforms human lives. But I really hate to say it, but the average typical Christian in the world today is a sore disappointment in that revelation. So that's really what the Holy Spirit series is all about. It's really coming up there to try to get Christians, get believers back on top of their Christian life, their Christian experience, so that no matter where it is that we go, people are going to see and know and experience what it is to come in contact with someone who is sold out, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm getting off track there. So anyway, it is a flawed premise to begin with, and it's based on an errant foundation that will lead to a disastrous result for such nations that embrace their philosophy. Listen, America had its problems in the early days. Don't get me wrong. When they came over, if you settled in this particular area and they came over this little village came over on the ships from over in Europe and wherever it was, and they established their little colony. They had a religion that was in that colony, and if you didn't subscribe to that religion, you were thrown out, or maybe something else even worse happened to you. And that was a really major battle in the early days of the Europeans coming here to the United States of America. Simply was that if you didn't, these different colonies subscribed to a particular denomination, a particular church, and it really wasn't until the Rogers settlement came to being that they actually allowed people of different persuasions of faith to actually settle there, which is kind of a forerunner of where we are today, I guess, if you want to look at it. Kind of really condensed down in a nutshell, but evolution is a religion, and it is being taught in our schools. Because you listen, there is no evidence whatsoever that nothing became something. How's man going to prove that nothing became something? They can't prove it.
Right.
They can theorize it, but they can't prove it because it's impossible. For nothing to become something. I don't care how much time you give it. And I don't care how many chances you give it. It's just not going to happen. But look where we are today. We are no longer, at least put it this way, in some of those early colonies, there was a reverence and there was a fear for God, even if it was based on an errant doctrine. But that doesn't even exist today, because primarily it's evolution. And because of that, we don't give an account to God. We eat, we live, we die. That's it. We get buried in the ground. And so whatever I do in this life, it doesn't matter, just as long as I'm the happy camper. If I have to take what you've got and I have to take it by force, well, no big deal. I'm just, you know, might versus might makes right. I guess that's how the old saying used to go. But again, what a terrible philosophy we have got today, because the philosophy is that there is no God, then living together as a husband and wife is, well, that's no sin. One, of course, I've been taken, and that is that the philosophy, even by some who have written, and they think in this generation, some of the counselors and psychologists, we believe this is a good thing that people live together first so they can find out and all this kind of thing. But it just never works out. It just never really works out. So if you say the divorce rate's running about 50%, that doesn't even take into account. And now there are those who are really coming around to the fact that it could be as high as 80%. But the problem is that those who live together and then decide it's not going to work out and they separate and go their own ways is never taken into consideration.
Right.
So if the Bible is our foundation, then our premise is Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Where it says there, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I should have started back in verse 16. I started in verse 18. It said, verse 16, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And when he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. So philosophy is a search for the general understanding of values and reality by chiefly speculating rather than on observable grounds. That's the world's approach. Is there any value in this? Does it have any value? Does it promote any kind of value? Well, it is also an analysis of the grounds of and concepts expressing fundamental beliefs, which is our approach. We look at it and say our foundation is what we believe concerning the Word of God. What God says, what the Holy Spirit of God guides us and leads us and directs us through wisdom and through knowledge to gain. So for us, it is, that is, the grounds Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. If God did not exist in the beginning, then none of this that we have here today would exist. All that is physical has its origins in God. All that is known and unseen, such as the physical laws, have their origin and their sustainability are in God through Jesus Christ. All truth is absolute and remains so for all of eternity because God is eternal and therefore his truth is eternal. It remains that way. Unfortunately, many Christians are getting caught up into this combination of what the Bible says and what scientists say because, hey, you know, these scientists, they're really smart people. And don't get me wrong, they're smart. They're just not smart about the right things. Okay, we're looking at the same facts that they're looking at. They're just coming to different conclusions about it because it fits their narrative. And we come to our conclusion because it fits our narrative because God's given us the narrative. To them, they have to conjure up their own narrative, if you will. So we must always be alert to any philosophy. And see, this is one of the problems that when we put our young people into secular schools, we put them into secular colleges. More so in secular college, but don't get me wrong, there are grave dangers in the public school system in the lower grades as well. But the philosophy, oftentimes in the higher schools of education, you'll put your child in there and they will come out the other end for the most part, unless they're into a really good church, good fundamental church, a good Bible believing fundamental church and a good fundamental Bible believing youth group or something like that. If they're not in that, then they're going to come out the other side and they probably will not go back to church. And they probably won't have too much to do with God. They just will not do that. Because they have been inundated for 4 years by professors and others. They've been badgered and banged and beaten up with world philosophies, if you will. We look at what's going on there with the... where is it out there in the West? Berkeley and places like that. These people went in mush mines and they came out there completely indoctrinated. And that's why they act the way they do. That's why they think the way they do. So just always be aware that we must always be alert to any philosophy that teaches anything contrary to the Word of God or that attempts to teach a false doctrine that negates absolute truth given to you and I by God. And the idea here, as the word spoil, it means to carry one off captive, to spoil, to carry one off captive. Theistic evolution, the gap theory. These are some of the things that if you're not careful, the result of being carried off by the false conclusion of men's, whose premise was to disprove that there is a God, thereby making the scriptures an absolute truth, as an absolute truth non-existent. So when you've got people, even like Dr. Clarence Larkin, very brilliant preacher, I believe a very brilliant man, but he got caught up into the gap theory. He said, okay, well, this is what science says, and these are the numbers that science throws out there, and these are all the years and all the billions of years and all this they throw out there. He said, I wonder where that fits in God's scheme. And that's really, he had to think that because he came up with his gap theory, which he places there at Genesis 1, between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Where when the earth was out form and void, he said there was a different creation before that. God made a, you know, then God exited out of it, and then God came back and re-entered it all over again. And he said that would account for the caveman, that would account for the dinosaur, and so else. But the truth of the matter is they all existed at the same time man existed.
Right.
There's no contradiction there, but because man said, and man's got, you know, man's pretty smart, just not smarter than God. They haven't realized that. They haven't been able to put that together yet. But anyway, so you have theistic evolution, you have the gap theory as a result of being carried off by philosophy. Billy Graham was one of those men who I believe got, at one point in his life, got carried off. He became captive when he decided that he'd have unsaved and those who believed in different doctrines on his platform for a number of years. He'd invite them to be up there, figured out, well, I could get a lot of other people in there. The truth of the matter is, Billy Sunday didn't need to have a lot of that. Billy Sunday used to be able to go, he would come into a town and factories and business would shut down. If he was coming in for a couple of days or for a week, they would shut down and they would all go to the services where Billy Sunday was preaching. So it's a problem when we're, and that's why a lot of churches have gone to contemporary music. That's why they have gone to user-friendly kind of a concepts and all of these kind of things there, because it's man trying to reason away. Listen, the truth of the matter is, what God needs is for men and women to stand the ground, because when the Antichrist really begins to take the spirit of Antichrist gets worse than what it is now, there are going to be some people who are looking for people with some answers. Others are going to get sucked up into what the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist has to do anyway. So I have absolutely no qualms about stating the obvious change that evolution and humanism has done. To the average believer in what they watch, are taught from kindergarten through to college. Even sitting in front of a television and watching all this kind of stuff there. I guess the one way to really describe Disney is pantheism. Multiple gods, pantheism. All their movies have always something to do with pantheism. They may be trying to bring out something historic, but they emphasize pantheism all throughout most everything. And of course, now they're going to the scientific end. You're talking about the avatars and that whole nine yards. And I'm sure the bottom line, a lot of it's money, but they also promote philosophy. So we want our sons and our daughters saved at an early age and to learn Bible truths and apply these truths to their lives. I think the saddest thing is I love hearing the testimonies of our parents talking about the other ones when they're singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, the Bible, you know, or just their favorite Bible stories and so on there. But we have to realize they're growing up in a world that doesn't think the same way. And we have to be very careful what they get exposed to, because they can be singing those songs now. They can be reciting those stories now, but at some particular point when they get to be teens or young adults, they may not be singing those same, because in that time frame, that interim, so much garbage will be thrown at them. And they've got to, at a very early age, and we as parents have got to, at a very early age, help them to understand the wickedness of devil and the wickedness of errancy. So we send them into a school system that has a goal to eradicate God and absolute truth from the minds and the hearts of every student. It's amazing how many students will tell a child they can't do this, the child they can't do that, they can't bring a Bible, they can't read the Bible, they can't do it at recess, they can't do this. They can. There's a lot of things they can do, and the teachers are wrong, but there's just so much trying to get it out of the school system. There was just something recently, which I won't go into, but pay attention to what's going on. Not just our little community, but around the world. So this is not so of all teachers, I understand that, but it is a growing number, and those who speak out are censored, those teachers. Marco Rubio quoted a verse. I mean, people went ballistic. I mean, there were people frothing at the mouth. They were venomous, spitting out fire almost. Boy, if that isn't the spirit of Antichrist, an absolute intense hatred. How dare you tell me a verse? How dare you say a verse and it falls on my ears? That is the world. That is the world that's in its making right now. So, as parents, we need to know not only what is true, but why it's true. And make sure that our children know it as well. For too long, we've stepped back and we said, "Well, because I told you so." If they want to ask why, sit them down and tell them, and not say, "Well, I'm your mother and I'm telling you so. I'm your father, I'm telling you so." You do it. Give them an explanation. Why do I have to make my bed today? Well, because I told you to. No, it's a part of orderliness, learning to take care of your environment around you. Cleanliness, orderliness, structure, if you will. So you can explain to them the importance of that, especially when it comes into that. It may even sound like a silly thing. Okay, you put your fork here, and you put the salad fork, and you put this fork, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. Who cares? Well, it depends if you want to be structured. There's a way to do certain things. There's a way to set up a table, and it's the way it should be set up there. Your world's not going to come to an end. It's not a matter of heaven and hell. But the idea is simply, listen, sometimes they just need to know that there needs to be some structure. They need to learn how to do things in a specific order for a specific reason. And it will go along. Listen, you don't get to join the military and make your bed anytime or any way you want to. Listen, we've had reveille sound, and we've jumped out of bed. We got dressed, went out there, and we've come in here, and we made our beds, and we come back from chow, and everything was destroyed. I mean, the mattresses, the blanket, everything was all. And he said, "You didn't make them right. This is not. You're not home. I'm not your mother. You make your beds a certain way, and you'll make them until it's just right." Absolutely. And then you have a footlocker. You only have a little footlocker. If you haven't been in the military, you have a footlocker. And in that footlocker is everything you own. Literally. Socks, all your clothes, except for the little hangers that you have up there. And everything has to be folded just right. Your socks have to be folded in an E. Your T-shirts have to be folded in an E. Everything. And they'll take you and they'll dump it all over the place. You're going to learn it to do their way. Right. Because you need to be able to learn to listen and do things for specific reasons. It's a training process. It's a learning process. And so as parents, we need to know not only what is true, but why it's true, and work with them, educate them, teach them, especially in spiritual things. So again, the goal of these false teachers was and still is to carry believers captive to their points of view, and they are succeeding. God is not dead. I think there was a movie that was just out on television. God's Not Dead. I think we did see it. It was actually pretty good. The student dared to stand up to a professor who claimed that God was dead, and the student proved to that guy that he wasn't. But the really problem was that the professor had lost his wife and was very angry at God because of the loss there. The young man stood his ground. Not a lot of young people do that. In fact, they won't even speak up. They won't say anything one way or the other. So many of the cults operate this way. Moonies would go to churches to talk to pastors. I can remember some Moonies came here one time. We were doing something here in the church, and they came in there, and they want to strike up a conversation and one thing or another. Want to give me this Bible and that book or whatever it is they had there and whatever else it was. And I told them, listen, we're on two totally different pages, buddy. So we're on our opposite ends of the world when it comes to this stuff here. So you're basically wasting your time. So I'll be glad to talk to you about my Lord, if you will, because they didn't want to hear any of that. But we're dealing with cults all the time, and of course the Mormons up and down the streets here, and I haven't seen Jehovah's Witness in quite a while. It doesn't mean they're not out there. They certainly are there. But Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses come to our homes using this same idea to take us captive, trying to prey on the fact that they realize that the average Christian really doesn't know much about what they believe or why they believe what they believe. They really count on that fact. And, you know, they can tell by just simply asking you a few questions whether or not you even know what you believe or why you believe what you believe. And then they know exactly then what to do. They know exactly what to zero in on. And so unless you're just in a haste and in a hurry, and if you're really kind of interested, they will suck you in. So as they come to our homes, using the same idea to take away captive church members who are not grounded in the knowledge of the truth of God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll get ready to get into our prayer time here, and we'll pick up with point 2. But in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, now the Apostle Paul, he was a great Bible teacher, was he not? But it says right there, he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Let him be accursed. Verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. So we're talking within a year's time or so that when he had left the Galatians there in the city of Galatia to go on to another city there, he says in verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, which is not another, by the way. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? So 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to do what? Study, 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 study. Do you realize if you're not studying the Word of God that you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Did you know that? You say, well, I'm reading it. Wait a minute now. Reading it's not the same thing as study, is it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is that? If we don't make church a regular activity in our lives, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you can learn at home from the Holy Spirit of God, but the Holy Spirit of God is going to have a special message here. And it may not be the same message you'll get at home. So, again, it comes back to the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance unto supplication for all saints. So if you're not praying for brothers and sisters, whether we're praying for those over in Europe, those who are now facing the prospect, pastors over there, national pastors who are not signing up to become one of the registered churches, because if you ever become a registered church, then you are controlled by the state. And you're controlled by some state ecclesiastical organization as well. So one of the pastors was just fined 40,000 rubles, which I think comes out to about $600. Now, how many missionaries do you know, especially local pastors, national pastors, have that kind of money? But he was fined $600 because he handed out tracts and he put up a poster about the special activities that the church they were holding, and he's not a registered church. So it's getting tough. It really is getting tough out there. So we got to be praying, not just only for our brothers and sisters here, but for those who are overseas. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we see that, as we'll pick up, Lord willing, we'll pick up next week with the next part of this. As we get moving on here, but we'll close with that here tonight. Let's be praying one for another. We need to be strengthened. We need to be encouraged. But you know what? We shouldn't have to be just the only ones praying for our children. We should be praying for all the kids that have come through our youth groups here that are no longer bothered with anything spiritual. Christianity is a hit or miss kind of a thing. It's more of a social thing than it is anything else. But who just don't have any time for the world. We know who they are. We should be praying for them, joining with their parents. To pray for spiritual direction, even for those who are even here now. You wonder if their moms and dads weren't here on a regular basis, would they be here? We need to hold each other up in prayer on a regular basis. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So with that in mind, here we go to our prayer time. So let's watch out for those vain philosophies out there, way. I added on here tonight... Allison still being sick, she's getting better. Robert Daw, which is Pat Daw's father, has a melanoma moved from his arm, and they want to do some screening. He's not sure if he wants the screening done or what treatments to do at this particular point. Just pray that God will give him the wisdom to know what needs to be done. Our desire would be that if he goes for the screening, that they'll find nothing. They'll be able to take care of it all. Continue to pray that my birth certificate will come through somewhere along the line, that they'll recognize I'm still alive or still here. If not, I'm going to file a death certificate and I'm not paying any more taxes. I'm sure that guy's dead. Pray for Rosa, Karen, and Xavier there in Mexico. When are they coming home, James?
Saturday.
They'll be coming home Saturday. AJ and Vanya, they're in Mexico as well. I'm not sure when they're coming home, but this... A week from Tuesday? Oh, this coming Tuesday. So this coming Tuesday, they'll be home. Pray that they'll make all their connections, and pray that they'll let them all out of Mexico. Get them out. So I don't know if there's any other prayer requests that we need to know about here tonight. Yes, no. Karen?
Trina's boyfriend, Dick, just had some surgery on his foot actually today. And so just that it healed well. It's like 6 months before it'll get back to where it's supposed to be.
Now, who's that?
There's Twitter's boyfriend, Vic.
Okay, Vic.
His foot was operated on today.
Any other? Justin.
I'm supposed to receive a few job offers on Friday, and so I just picked the wisdom on which one I should take for neither.
All right. Any others? I put down here for the missionary, I got the two quick emails from Tim and Faith Brennan. I'd mentioned before that the mission board, it really wasn't a mission board, it was a church. It was Hilltop Baptist Church, or Bible Church rather, in Pennsylvania that had taken over there. When they left New Tribes, they were taken on by this church and a mission board called Team, I think. That church is no longer going to be involved in that aspect of mission. So, in fact, they're still working on that mission field, except for she just passed away. Mrs. Bailey, Ellen Bailey, passed away. So let's remember Tim Brennan, Faith, and them in the loss of her mom. And I think about Pastor Jim Lake, his wife Kathy has early onset of Alzheimer's, and he notices things a lot of people don't notice. So just kind of remember his health and her health too as well, and the situation that they're facing with this down there in Barry as well, Bible Baptist Church of Barry. If there's not any others here tonight, then Brother Jim, if you get us going on these long terms here, appreciate that here tonight. Pregnancy, Justin, you up to it back there? All right, and then we've got spiritual needs and growth there. Mike, how about those? Would you hit those for us tonight, Mike? Tom, how about these salvations? Hit those for us. Steve, how about these short terms? Hit those for us here tonight. I'll pick up these extras. Missionary of the Week, there. Jack, you want to mention those there? And then I'll pray for the Vermont pastor there. So.
Father, give me now, we come to you, Lord, so thankful for God that answers prayers. So, Father, we come to you tonight on behalf of these long-term requests. We pray, Father, that your will would be done, that you'd meet each and every one of the needs according to your will. We thank you for our child, Lord. We pray they'll continue being benign. We pray, Lord, your will be done there. And, Lord, for Lorraine, for her struggle with her plaguing health issues, we pray, Father, that you'd meet each and every need that she has. And, Lord, have your will and way in her life. And, Lord, for Danny Rawson, we pray that you be with him, Lord, in his muscular dystrophy, and also his related to other problems. We just pray, Father, that you meet his needs there. And then, Lord, for Linda F., as she deals with her health issues, we pray, Father, that you meet her needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Rosa, for her foot pain and for her heart and her eyes, we pray, Father, you'll continue to have your will and way there. Then, Lord, for Sophie, we pray for her for her serious and ongoing health issues. We pray, Father, that you'll continue meeting her needs. And then again, Lord, we pray for our parents that they'll come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. Then, Lord, we pray for Rob as he's getting settled in Virginia and for his finances. We pray, Father, that you'll meet his needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Dan Charlotte, we pray for meetings and for his financial needs at this time. We pray, Father, that you'll continue meeting his needs. Then, Lord, for Bev, we pray that you'd be with her. She did it with the shingles and the balance. We just pray, Father, that you'd be with her. And also, Lord, we pray that you'd be with her today as she had her surgery. We pray, Father, you continue meeting her needs day by day. And then, Lord, for